Hey everyone, welcome back to You Enjoy Life. Hope you're enjoying life. And as always, if you're not, that's okay, because maybe I'll get you a little bit closer to some of that fulfillment, some of that enjoyment that, you know, I feel like we all deserve to have. And it's not to say that you have to have it all the time. You know, I think there's this mindset that we just need to be happy all the time. But no, we're here to be human, to feel, to experience life. And that's been a huge thing for me, because I, as someone who's a people pleaser, as someone who, you know, grew up kind of being a pretender, I wish I'd act like things were good. But, oh man, my life is a freaking insane roller coaster. And sometimes it feels like it doesn't have the track. Sometimes it feels like it's wooden. Other times it feels like it's steel and it's smooth. And in the wooden times, it's shaky and unpredictable. And is it going to break? And other times it feels like a smooth, fun ride and I'm excited. And other times I'm terrified. And I think that's just part of my own experience. And that's something that I go through a lot and I've come to appreciate. So on that note, I wanted to talk to y'all about some things today. And that's it kind of stems from a class. So I teach these vocal classes, and it's called Freeing Your Voice. And the idea is that it helps you really tap into your internal instrument. And a friend of mine told me recently, he said, you know, I was taking this vocal class, and the teacher was talking about how our voice isn't a puppet. And it got me thinking, like, you know, we have relationships with so many things, and they're all built around various judgments, various assumptions, various conditioning. So when we're in this state of, you know, relationships with stuff, it's easy to see it as like, okay, people. Yeah, I judge people. Yeah, you know, I have my opinions, I have my this, I have my that. It's easy to have that awareness that we judge things, but it can be hard, A, to see how much we judge ourselves, and B, how much we judge the things that are in our lives. So one thing I brought up yesterday in the class is I said, you know, it's so easy to assume that other people are judging us, when in fact, most of us are just judging ourselves. Like, most people just go around all the time judging themselves, and they're too busy judging themselves to judge other people. And it might seem like they're judging other people, but it's really just their own reflection of themselves. So whatever thoughts you have, you're like, oh, people are going to think of me like this or like that. Most people are ultimately too caught up in their own stuff to even worry about you. They might have superficial judgments like, oh, this person's annoying, or I don't like them, or that's a weird shirt choice. But at the end of the day, most people have this critical voice in their head that takes up most of their time and most of their space. So we have this relationship to ourself that is very judgmental. And usually it comes from, it comes from a lot of things, society, conditioning, and I talk about this stuff all the time. But what I found is that most of the judgments in our heads come from usually, like, for the most part, one person. It might be a father, it might be a mother, you know, one of your parents, or someone really close in your life, or someone in a relationship. But we tend to live our life with this voice in our head, and we think it's our own voice, but oftentimes that critical voice is someone else's voice, you know, and it's whatever that sort of karmic energy that we picked up in our life that's there, that's guiding us. And we can kind of combat that by looking at the voice, by observing the voice, by kind of being aware of it, by having conversation with it, and that is a thing that's really important. But I think at the end of the day, like, having this awareness that there's something that is making you judge yourself all the time is a good place to start. Now, I was writing about this last night. I wrote, I, in capitals, I'm looking over my notes. Sometimes I get into these like really intensive note writing sessions where everything becomes very clear, and I write a lot at night, you know, after a music session or something. And then I have to go back and read it to remember, like, what was I really thinking then? So I just wrote in capital letters, I need to stop. And then I said, judging myself from my voice, I need to trust. That is what I want to create in the group. I want it full on. Embrace all of me through music. So I was talking specifically about this group that I did last night and realizing that if I'm there to teach, I have to show up as the authority, you know, and no matter what judgments I have or what people might be thinking of my teaching style, I need to fully own that and fully embody that. And I do that through the music. And I do that through not judging myself. And I still have a lot of judgments around my voice. And what's ironic is last night I went down the rabbit hole, and I tend to obsess about stuff. I'm someone who will like get super obsessed with something and like study it vigorously, or learn about it, or watch about it, or read it, whether it's bands or certain types of food or gardening stuff. And recently I've been so obsessed with permaculture and gardening and turning my backyard into a food forest. And it's been super nice out. Spring hit and it snowed, and then it got like for a week, it was just like, so it's been so beautiful. Every day I'm spending hours and hours in my yard, mending soils, I'm planting new things, I'm checking out the trees, I'm pruning, I'm doing all kinds of different stuff, you know, working out watering systems, a million projects, and I'm obsessed, and I read books about it, and I watch every YouTube video I can find about it, and I talk to friends and people, and just like, it's just emanating out of me. However, the past couple days it's been really cold again and kind of rainy, so I didn't have that. And at first I was a little bit depressed, like, oh man, I sort of lost the ability to have this morning, you know, because what I was doing is every morning, kind of in that 7 to 10 o'clock range, I would go out for a couple hours before it got too hot, and I would just like work in the yard. And then I felt great. I wasn't on my computer. I wasn't really on my phone. I was just like in the dirt and just had this simplicity and this connection. And also you're moving, you're shoveling, so you're getting a bit of a sweat on. I just feel really good, feel really grounded and connected. But I lost that, and I was getting a little bit sad and kind of depressed with the mood, with, you know, the mood of the clouds and things are gray. And in Colorado, I welcome all rain. I mean, everywhere, because I think rain is a beautiful, important thing, sunshine and rain. In Colorado, it's very dry. So whenever it does rain, it's a great opportunity to obviously like get some moisture going on in here. However, I was feeling a little bit depressed being kind of stuck inside. But then I started playing guitar and more. And one thing I kind of realized was that I've been neglecting music a little bit, even though this past month has been like really diving into it. The amount that I used to play, like guitar used to be, it's like a third arm for me. It used to just be on me at all times. And because of that, I had such a comfort with it, I could speak through it. So for the past few days, I've just been playing and consuming so much more music that I already felt this tremendous shift. And it's amazing in such a small amount of time, if you're dedicated to something, how quickly you can get comfortable with it. You know, so there's something in your life where you feel like you want to be better at, or you don't really feel that skillful. Just spend a few days, like if it's an instrument, just keep it in your hands. Even if you're watching TV or whatever you're doing, obviously not when you're in the bathroom or eating meals or something, but when you're sitting down and, you know, just like have it in your hands, just kind of be like playing around with it, being comfortable with it, and it becomes this extension of your body. So my skills just completely exploded over the past few days because I got comfortable. I sat with it. I really allowed myself to do it in a way where now when I'm playing guitar, I can, even if I have earplugs in, I can't hear anything, I can speak through the guitar. I know what notes are being played. I know as I'm moving, do 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 do, like I know what sounds are happening because my voice is connected to it. And I saw this, I was watching a video, Trey Anastasio, who's one of my biggest musical influences. He's the lead singer. It's kind of funny to say lead singer, but he's kind of, he's the guitarist and singer and a big writer in Phish. And kind of the, I mean, all the guys are so detrimental, not detrimental, they're so integral to the band, but he's kind of like the known leader of Phish. And he was in this article, and he was talking about exercises you can do for your fingers and how if you just do these really simple exercises all the time and you build up this skill and the dexterity, then when you're playing, you know, you can speak from your heart. He's like, the goal of music is to kind of, and I'm misquoting this, but basically to play and express yourself and speak from your heart. So if your hands and your technical skills are just there, then when you allow the music to take over, you can just express yourself so much more. It's like learning a language, right? The more, you know, I can express myself really well in English, but if I try to speak in Spanish, I know basic stuff. How are you? What's going on? I'm good. I'm well. But I can't have an in-depth conversation. The more I learn Spanish, the more I practice, the more I can express myself in this other type of language. And music, to me, is the ultimate language. So I say that, you know, I only speak one language, but really music is my second language. And I think of it as a higher, more... almost a more advanced or more, it's funny, it's like more primitive and yet more advanced in a interesting way, because I think it goes directly to the soul. I think music speaks to people in a way that conversation rarely does. That's why when you're watching a movie and there's, you know, a soundtrack going on, like that, the music plays on your feeling. When there's a really sad moment, you know, you hear the violins come in and it helps you build emotion. Without music in movies, it's a very different experience. And there are some movies that don't really utilize music, or they use it in a very specific way, but it's still, it elicits so many feelings in people they don't even realize. Which I always used to have this dream, if I had a wish for a genie, one of them would be that my life would just constantly be scored. Because I'm curious what it would be like. You're having these intense moments, conversations with, you know, your lover, and it's really intense, and then there's music that's accentuating it. Like, and not just like I have music on in the background, but actually like scoring the moment and building with the emotions. I'm like, how much more of an emotional person would I be if music was like just scoring my life. Walking down the street, you know, whatever it is, like you have a little skip in your step. So going back to the kind of judgment of the voice, I sometimes get in these YouTube holes, and what I found recently is I've watched a lot of series on Netflix. I've watched movies, and you know, I've had plenty of obsessive series over my day, my years of being human that I've loved. But for some reason recently, I've just been so like just uninspired by TV shows. Not to say they're gotten worse, or there's still plenty of great ones I haven't seen, but I'm just like, I put on a show on Netflix when I'm, you know, done work and or whatever, and I'm just like, ugh, like I don't know, maybe it's my attention span. I'm just like not interested, you know, I'm just kind of tapped out right now, at least for the moment. So I like to watch a lot of YouTube videos and clips, and there's predominantly a few things that I watch on YouTube. One is educational. If I'm trying to learn something, if I'm trying to learn a new dish, or I'm trying to learn a gardening technique or how to build something, I will watch, you know, DIY and that kind of stuff. Two is comedy. I get into these YouTube holes where I'll watch like Jim Carrey, all of his old interviews, new interviews, his award acceptance speeches. Like there's certain comedians, he's my numero uno in terms of influence in the comedy world, and I think one of the funniest people ever and most talented, brilliant, also like forward thinking comedians ever to live, as is Andy Kaufman, who's even on his own level. So I'll watch like clips and really old them on Letterman in the 80s and you know, Carrie's like first stand up and all this stuff, and I laugh and I feel good, and I'm just also inspired, you know, and laughing is contagious. So if you're feeling kind of down, sometimes watching little funny clips is great, and having someone that you know and you trust is going to make you laugh is also a thing, because sometimes watching random comedy, it can be a crapshoot. And I'm a bit particular with my comedians. I find like there's certain types of humors that I really resonate with, and I'm sure it's the same for everybody, but like instead of just trying on some random comedian sometimes, unless it's, you know, someone suggesting it or I see them on whatever it is, I like to watch my, you know, my people. Same with like Robin Williams. I love watching him. Like his old stuff, it's just brilliant, blows me away. Okay, so anyhow, I watch comedy. And then the other thing is music. And I can't say which one's the most, but of course music is such a big obsession. But I guess my life is really like comedy, music, and food. And I just think they're some of the best things ever. And when it comes to music, there's different things that I watch. One, I like to watch music documentaries. And I tend to be someone who will like obsess about one musician or one band, and like I'll listen to all their music, I'll watch documentaries on them, I'll read books, and that's for like people that I consider to be really, really special and profound musicians, like David Byrne or Fela Kuti or Bob Marley, people that have like created a huge stamp in the world, and their influence is beyond just their music, but their music is so, you know, profound to me. So I like watching that. I like watching a lot of live concert performances, and I don't just watch one person. I find that's a great way to study a band. But, you know, I might watch in certain types of genres, and sometimes it's like popular music and kind of understanding like what's going on in the pop world. And other times it's watching more classic rock, you know, or jazz or whatever it might be. And last night, I stumbled upon something that, you know, a band I used to be a huge fan of, but it's been a really, really, really long time, and it kind of blew my mind. So Joe Rogan has a great podcast. I'm sure you've heard of it. And if you haven't, you can check it out. And he just gets some of the best, most interesting people on his podcast, and creates a really relaxed environment. A lot of times he's like, you know, smoking or drinking or whatever, but he just creates this really relaxed environment, and people kind of open up. And like, I just listened to one, him and Russell Brand talk for 3.5 hours. And just go into things about hunting and veganism and socialism and constructs of reality, all these different things. And it's cool to see two people that are so different connect and have a conversation and bring different points to the table. Because I think listening to different perspectives is a great way to open up your mind to new possibilities and see what is. So as much as I love listening to his podcast, there's this YouTube channel called JRE, which is Joe Rogan Experience Clips, JRE Clips. And on there, they take like the best bits of his, because these are 2 to 3.5 hour long podcasts, and they take little clips and they kind of make him into these almost, you know, not clickbaity, but sort of clickbaity titles. And he had Billy Corgan on from Smashing Pumpkins, and I saw a couple clips and about like the music industry and fame, and So I started listening to it, and I was like, wow, this is, I had all these assumptions about this guy. You know, I used to love Smashing Pumpkins. I saw them in concert once at a pretty small venue in Philly. It was maybe like, it's called the Electric Factory. I want to say it's maybe like in the 3,000 range, which for a band that became massively, massively, massively famous and successful, that felt pretty intimate. And I used to love their music and listen to their albums a lot. And then I just kind of grew out of that sort of rock, grunge, you know, that whole scene, and went on to other stuff. But I've always respected. And if I hear, like, you know, one of their old songs, I'm like, yeah, this is, you know, kind of groundbreaking, beautiful music. So I was like, I want to go back and see sort of what he was doing back in the day. And I found these old videos of him playing. And it's like, to hear him talk about all the stuff and all the ups and downs and all the horrible things he went through in the music industry and the beast of being in that, that was eye-opening. But then what really, really struck me was listening to him and the way he sings. Because when I talk about singing, when you sing up in your throat, you know, like, you can really damage your throat. That's why it's good to really use your diaphragm and sting, like, in your stomach and really develop that power and just use your throat as a way to basically, the throat is like the steering wheel of the car, and the pedals, you know, that's your diaphragm, that's where your, you know, your power, your stomach, that's what drives the car. And a lot of people, when they have that balance, they can sing well. But listening to Billy Corgan sing, his voice was so in his throat. You know, and it's like, and he obviously has a way better voice and he makes it work. But singing in that register, and it was like, it didn't even sound that good. And listening to it live, I mean, the albums are amazing, but listening to it live on YouTube, well, like, I wouldn't say he's someone who I would say has a great voice. But he inspired a generation. He sold gajillion albums. He made great music, and he made it work. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why am I judging my voice? What does it have anything to do with how, like, why does my success or my influence or whatever it is have anything to do with what I really think about my voice, right? What does it really have anything to do at the end of the day? And I realized I had nothing. It's this judgment that I've placed upon myself to keep myself sort of locked down. And I'm going to pull. So what I kind of wrote, let's see here. It felt like my voice, and sometimes still, but it feels like my voice was in a caged box, like a prison. And I had this, you know, sort of, what's the word, like a, not visualized, but this imaginary, invisible cage. Like, I really imagine if you close your eyes and you see your voice as like a prison, and it's like this little, like, you know, metal cage with bars and everything and a lock on it, and it's just locked in there. And that's the way I've been living with my voice for a long time, and I've done a lot of work on it, so I've been able to expand that cage since. But there's still a piece of me that feels like I'm caged in my throat, because I have all these assumptions about my voice. I have all these insecurities. I have all these fears and ideas and judgments. So last night I was remembering to just break open the cage, and it started to look into my life and started to trickle all over the place, and started to remember, like, yeah, that's how we live our life. That's how we view things. Like, we put a little box around ourselves, and it's this invisible prison. And we lock the key, and we forget that there's a key, and we forget that there's a lock. So it's one thing to be in prison and to know you're imprisoned, you know? It's one thing to know that you're constrained. But to not know, it's like that blind spot. To not know that you're in a prison, well, it's going to be really frustrating, because something is holding you back, but you don't know what it is. You think you're free. You know, you think you're open to do whatever you want, to express yourself, to be this person, but there's secretly something holding you back. And I really wanted to bring this up in the podcast today, because it kind of re-triggered, and also just reminded myself that no matter how much work I'm doing, there's always like another peel of the onion. You know, I peel the onion back, and there's another layer, and there's things that I'm missing out on. And that's why I'm always doing this self-reflective work. That's why I write so much. So I suggest that if you are trying to figure out more about yourself, you do some writing and you figure out a way to differentiate, you know, your quote unquote true voice from that judgment voice. And when you start to connect it, like, it might be apparent. or it might be something in society. But when you are writing and you write all the things that you think about yourself, but then think about, why do you think that, right? So for me, my voice, I don't think I have a great voice. Let's say that was something early on that I had to overcome. So I wrote that and I was like, okay, is that really like my true voice speaking to me? Or is that someone, you know, who told me that when I was a kid? Or is that something that I saw on a TV show and assume, okay, well, I don't have a voice like he does, so I'm not good, whatever it is. Where is that voice really coming from? Is it coming from me and does it really serve me? Or is it coming from somewhere else that was probably had nothing to do with anything I'm out to create in the world? So the more you get in touch with that, the more you get in tune with that, and differentiate between your own voice and the voice of the judgment and the voice of the pressure, the voice of the external, you can actually start to create clarity in your life and make real decisions for yourself. It can be so challenging to make real, distinct, specific, you know, tangible, actionable decisions in your life when there's all these other fears and judgments at play. We often don't really make decisions for ourselves because we have so many other influences that out of fear make it almost impossible to make like a real, rational, clear choice. So if I, you know, struck any chord today, like I said, do some writing, distinguish the voice, and also just stop feeling like you need to judge yourself all the time, because no one's judging you but yourself. And even if they are, even if someone has said something to you, chances are it's a reflection of their own insecurities. When people judge us, it's because they're insecure. And for the most part, they have this sort of insecurity or this fear, and they judge people as a way to feel better about themselves. It's so much easier to talk about other people than to deal with our own crap. You know what I mean? It's like, it's so much easier to have conversations around that. And I think that's something that happens a lot more often in our society, where we, and I can even speak for myself, where I have been in relationships with people, friendships, where I recognize that this person, or have this idea that they get excited to talk about other people. And there's this bond. It's like by making fun of other people or other types of people or someone we know, you create this bond of humor. But what all you're really doing is reflect, like, you know, that diverging, deflecting how you really feel in that moment. So it's so much easier to, yeah, that guy, he said this. Oh, did you hear what he said? Oh, I can't believe he did this. It's like, I've been there. I've done that. I think most people have. But one of the beauties is to be able to have the awareness to say, you know what? Like, that's just me being insecure because I'm so desperate to not talk about my feelings. I'm so desperate to talk about anything but how I'm feeling that I'm going to press and push down, suppress those feelings, and instead I'm going to have this dialogue about someone else who's not even in the room, talking behind their back, because it feels easy, it feels funny. But easy is just overrated, I'm telling you. Sometimes the struggle is where a lot of the beauty comes, and life shouldn't just be this struggle all the time. But when things get easy, chances are you're actually not growing. I feel like I talked about this in the last podcast, but it's funny because I have a lot of the conversations on my podcast are things that I directly talk with other people about. And I do enjoy having other people on the podcast, but it's also just become such a thing where like I have some things I want to share and get out to y'all, and I share them. But a lot of these conversations come home, they come from, sorry, I got something popped up, I got distracted. A lot of these conversations come from things that I've, you know, shared with friends and kind of understood. There's just been so much coming up around judgments and deflecting on other people. And I think, I don't want to say, oh, it needs to stop, but I think it's something that we can look within ourselves and say, okay, well, maybe this isn't benefiting me anymore, and maybe I can grow, maybe I can change, maybe there's a different way to interact with my world. And when you start to do those things, your whole life starts to change. Thank you all very much for listening, and I look forward to speaking with y'all soon. You can check out You and the Everybody Band. It's my album I put out recently. Check it out on Spotify and iTunes and via the links as well. It's just fun dance music. And I'm really here to remind people that and awaken the musician within all of them. We're all musicians. And it's not a thing that's this sort of, iconic, only meant for the few super talented. I think music, and they're, yeah, when it comes to pop music and touring the world, yeah, sure, that's a whole different thing. I'm not talking about that. For me, it's the heart of what music is. And if you look at almost every tribe and past societies, they all have music in states of connection, in states of celebration, ceremony, because it's a way to connect to something higher than themselves. And I think that a lot of us have lost that in music, and I want to remind people. So that's the music I create. See you soon.
Hey, friends. I hope you're doing well. It's been a while, and it's actually been a while. I feel like I say that every time, but in this case, it has been a while, and I'm only on here real quick to just share a little bit about where I've been and let you know I'll have some more podcasts coming out soon. But right now, I'm in Tetapoto. I'm up in the mountains in a beautiful, lush, dense jungle area right outside of the little town of Tetapoto, and I just got back from a 7-day ayahuasca retreat, and it was something I've been fascinated by for a long time. I was basically in the jungle with no electricity, no internet, no service, no connection, very basic, básico, in the jungle, eating very extremely simple and basic food, drinking some plant medicine, doing a lot of healing work. It was something that I've been called to for a long time, over 9 or 10 years, and I finally, it all aligned and I was able to go, and I had just my head, someone said, you know, your head's going to be blown off, and then you're going to spend a while kind of putting it back on, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. So I'm not in a place to chat, really, to be honest, and share the experience, other than I'll say that my head was blown off, and I saw so much and experience so much, and I have a long way to integrate even just being here, coming back into the city, being around people, my phone. It's very odd, it's very surreal to me. I feel like I'm not even really here quite now. So when I am here, when I kind of come back to this planet, I will share, and it will be soon. But I need a few days to sort of integrate first, and I just want to say it's been amazing and tremendous having this opportunity to share this with y'all, and I look forward to sharing more. So when I get back from Peru, which will be in a few days, and then when I have some time to rest, we'll be back. And for now, just know that I am leaving Brothers Green. If you didn't see the video, I'm making a lot of huge changes in my life. Leaving Brothers Green in the coming, I think, 2 weeks, and I'll be officially done, and I have my own channel on YouTube, You Enjoy Life, so you can go check that out, and it should be easy enough to find, and I'll see you soon. Peace.